The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, there are more than 2,500 fewer taxis on Irish roads than there were before the pandemic. The country is currently experiencing a taxi shortage, and it's said that 5,344 taxis are due to leave the roads due to regulations banning the use of 10-year-old cars. According to the National Transport Authority, there are currently 25,336 taxi driver licences, 18,840 49 of which are active, the rest are not. Our reporter Elaine Smith spoke to people in Cork about their taxi concerns.
Personally, I wouldn't feel safe given the situations that my friends have gotten into. And if I was taking a taxi, I'd try to make sure I was with a friend, something like that. I had a particular friend who, she's from Dublin now, when she was in Dublin, she got a taxi one night and he took her off to an area way, way away from her home, and she was telling him, you know, like, oh, leave me out, but she was a bit drunk as well, like, you know, which happens. But she tried to get out of the car and he wasn't leaving her. Things ended up happening. Then on a separate occasion then, she went to college down in UCC in Cork, and another taxi driver again started taking her away from where she was living, and she was saying, let me out. Eventually it got to the point where she started calling the guards on her phone, and he threw her out the side of the road, like. So when you're in those situations, you're not thinking straight. So she didn't get his name, license number, anything like that. So when she reported to the guards, she had nothing to kind of fall back on. So he kind of got away with that. And after that, then she had to go for serious counselling and stuff like that, because of course it would go against your mental health, like, you know what I mean? So
in general, I've definitely had a few experiences where I felt less than comfortable. I'm sending texts every time I arrive at my destination. Definitely I wouldn't be quick enough to take down any information. I wouldn't be that smart, especially when you're getting in intoxicated or something like that.
In those situations where you felt a bit uneasy, was there anything in particular that caused that?
When they're speaking a lot, kind of too much for comfort, or they insisted you'd sit up the front when you maybe wouldn't prefer to, that kind of thing, yeah.
To be honest, I haven't felt unsafe, but I could see why other people would feel unsafe, like, but I haven't myself, like.
And have any of your girlfriends ever expressed concerns about their own safety when they get into cabs on their own?
My girlfriend, she would be worried, like, but nothing's ever happened to her, like, but she would, like, she makes sure to text and stuff.
But so far I've only had good experiences, but I do take precautionary measures, just like taking a picture of the registration or the driver's profile if it's on an app like Free Now or whatever. I usually send to my friends, or sometimes I make a call while I'm in the taxi. I'm more comfortable during the day, but at night time I would be a little bit more hesitant. So far I've only had good experiences, but I know not everyone has the same experience as I have.
Do you feel safe getting into taxis here in Cork, especially when you're working late at night in the bar, you're off late at night?
Yeah, I would be sometimes a bit worried, especially at night, getting into a taxi with a stranger, especially over the stories and stuff that goes on around. If I need to get a taxi at night or whatever, I make sure I'm on the phone to my friends and stuff, or I'm texting them, or I'm able to contact someone if anything did happen.
Well, I have a daughter who's in university here, and I would have always thought that it was safer for her to get a taxi than a bus, but I'm rethinking it now, because I'm hearing stories that it is unsafe for girls getting into taxis when they don't know who the driver is. And
no, not 100%. I suppose I would text.
Now, there are some people expressing concerns about safety getting taxis, particularly late at night. Nolene Blackwell is CEO of the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre. We'll be talking to her, and also to Jim Waldron, spokesperson for the National Private Hire and Taxi Association of Ireland. And we'll be talking to Councillor Jackie Healy-Ray, independent Kerry County Councillor. But Nolene, first of all, is it a big deal, a big concern for single women, particularly getting into taxis? Because my experience as a male, it's always been positive.
Yeah, so is it a big problem? It is a problem, Pat, maybe not a huge problem, but it is certainly, it's one of the ways in which women check themselves and check that they are taking extra precautions when they get into a taxi. It's not always even only at night. But there are, you heard some of the vox pop there, people taking pictures of the registration, trying to make sure they see the driver profile, not sitting in the front seat. All of these are things that women learn because of the risk of assault and because of the risk of something happening and the person, you know, you're mobile, so you're on the move. It's hard to report. So that was why in some ways, even the advent of things like taxi apps, were really useful because people could track to some extent who answered the call. But the trouble is now that so often we hear that after people don't, that taxis switch off their apps at night because they can be out on the street and they don't have to pay the fee. So there continues to be a concern about the safety of taxis.
Yeah.
So for instance, there's a need for monitoring.
Nolene, this is obviously one of perception and, you know, an understandable caution on the part of female passengers not wanting to be the last to be dropped off, for instance, that kind of thing. But there's no, you know, huge list of taxi offenders in this regard. There have been over the years, obviously, some cases.
Yes.
But there isn't a huge problem there, is there?
No, but I mean, this is one of the areas as well, Pat, that even at the best of times is highly underreported. And very often, because you cannot track whose taxi it was, where they're gone, you know where the event happened, but the taxi isn't there anymore. There's no way to trace it. That even if you are one of those people who is able to go forward and make the complaint to the Gardaí and go with all the investigation that goes into this kind of a case, it can be very difficult to identify the person, which is why things like, you know, taxis who put their profile pass or their, you know, their photo and details down, even the question of hiding their number to some extent, any of these things, I think that the regulator needs to look out for more than they're doing at the moment.
Again, it would boil down to he said, she said kind of thing, which is always difficult, particularly if you feel threatened by innuendo or by you know, something indiscernible, which might be very hard to prove. I take it you would not be in favour of Uber coming along then?
Well, Uber is just, again, it's not really one business or another that would bother me. It is the level of regulation. It is the level at which they are regulated. If I'm in a taxi, for instance, and something happens to me, if I can identify the driver, I really can complain to the Gardaí and their license.
So irrespective of whether it's a traditional taxi or an Uber, as long as the regulation, the identification, the tracking and so on is in place, that would be best.
That would give the safer outcome. But it's the tracking and the monitoring as well. Hmm. It's not just the regulation at day one.
Now I know that you would like more public transport late at night, and it might make sense to have Darts and Lewis's running right through the night and night buses and so on. But a taxi delivers you door to door. You get off a Lewis station or a bus stop and maybe you've got a half a mile walk on your own. Is that any better?
Yeah, and you might be coming through a poorly lit car park after the Dart station or the bus or whatever. So there's so many aspects to this. It's a question that, though, if our public spaces, particularly at night, if they are available, if they are there for commerce, then our public authorities have to take an overall look at what makes for a safe place at night. And they have to put the variety of systems. It won't be all about taxis. It won't be all about public transport. There's a real advantage, for instance, for a parent looking at, once they know a youngster has got into a taxi or something, they know when they'll come home. So it's a variety of methods, but it's a question of safety. The Gardaí can't be monitoring everybody who comes out, but have we looked at our public spaces? Have we looked at the times people come out onto the street? Have we looked at places people have to wait if they're waiting for a taxi? So it's a variety. I mean, down the country, Pat, to be honest, if you're in a small town coming out where there's maybe two or three hackney only, which, you know, is the case in an awful lot of places, then you're depending on private lifts. You're also depending on the public authorities completing their public duty to ensure, well, not necessarily to ensure, but to make a place reasonably safe for people to use.
Okay. Nolene, we will leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us. Now, Jim Waldron, spokesperson for the National Private Hire and Taxi Association of Ireland, is on the line, as is independent Kerry County Councillor Jackie Healy-Ray. Jim, first of all, let's deal with the question of safety. There isn't a huge roster of successful criminal charges against taxi drivers.
Yeah, and can I agree with what Nolene is saying in general? Like, you know, any way we can make the environment safer, we're 100% behind that. And thankfully, yes, there have been very, very few. One is too many, but there have been very, very few sexual assaults, shall we say, within Ireland, within the regulated taxi.
But now it has to be said that many women will talk about, I had a really creepy taxi driver last night. Do you know? So it's not just convictions for sexual assault. It's just that feeling of discomfort that there isn't that appropriate level of propriety between taxi driver and customer.
Basically, Pat, you're leading in straight away to standards and, you know, the standards of the vetting by the guards and who is driving the vehicle. And I come on sort of with the premise of talking about Uber.
Indeed, we will too. And also the shortage of cars, by the way, which I think is really important that we should know.
No, but I just wanted to tip on the Uber. Like, you know, there is different standards of Uber around the world. And the standard that we have is what they should all be aspiring to and higher, by the way, like. You know what I mean? So let's discuss, you know, keeping the standards what they are. And if we can improve them, like Nolene is requesting, why not? But, you know, don't drop any standards because that's what Uber is doing. And I'm referring back to what Leo Varadkar said last week about outside of the country, you could get rideshare facilities and they were as good as they are in Ireland. Well, they're not as good as they are in Ireland because we're one of the best in the world, actually.
Now, the thing about Uber, though, my daughter lived for 2 years in Paris and she used Ubers all the time getting from the airports, either Orly or Charles de Gaulle, into the centre of Paris, often late at night. And we at home in Dublin could track who her driver was, what his name was, where he was at any given moment. And the standard of the Ubers in Paris was absolutely very high. Often you'd get into an Uber and there would be water, refreshments available in the back of the car. The cars were generally of very high quality. So some people can do it right.
Yeah, Pat, what you're describing there is what I believe is known as the Uber Black, which is a limousine service. It's not just the ordinary taxi. You know, Uber actually operate in Ireland as well, but they operate under the rules and the guidelines set down with the NTA, and nobody has a problem with Uber operating under the guidelines of the NTA. What we're missing out on is Uber is a gig economy service. They're out there to generate money and make money for the people who own it. They're not out there to provide a service for people who need a service when they need it. Like, when you need a service, if you're going to the airport in a rush and there's a lot of taxis busy, if you call an Uber, you could be charged six times the normal price. Now, that's what Uber do in other countries, and I don't think we should go down that road. I think we should go down the road of a taxi as a public service vehicle and keep it servicing the public with high standards.
But do you remember when they abolished the licensing of the sale of licenses between taxi owners effectively overnight? Anyone could become a taxi driver. And the number of taxis in the country went from 13,500 to 27,000. In other words, it doubled in a very short space of time. And suddenly, what used to be a major problem for everyone trying to get home was no longer a problem. There was loads of taxis and loads of business, it appeared, for everyone because everyone started to take taxis, you know, going into town instead of risking maybe driving with a couple of pints on board because they knew they could get a taxi.
Yeah, Pat, it wasn't that anybody could become a taxi back in the year 2000. It was anybody could own a taxi in the year 2000. You know, anybody can become a taxi driver today. You know, you just have to meet a couple of small standards and you become a taxi driver. You know, so, you know, anybody who wants to be a taxi driver can be a taxi driver. The problem with the shortage of taxis, I mean, that's definitely it's a transport inclusive problem, shall we say. Everybody should be involved in trying to solve the problem. And then when we have gigs and concerts on the Malahide Castle, there should be priority for taxis and priority for buses to get in and out of venues. And they shouldn't get planning permission unless this service is provided.
Yeah, often now, you have to walk for miles before you can reach the place where the taxis gathered.
Like, you know, whether I'm picking up my wife or whether I'm picking up somebody from a concert, I still have to park probably 3 miles away at Malahide Castle, and people don't know where do you go for a taxi? Like, you know, where is the best spot to get a taxi?
Okay,
it should be better highlighting all these places.
A comment from Dave. I missed a bus when on holiday in Croatia. I downloaded the Uber app at the bus stop. Within 2 minutes, my taxi was on the way. The app gave a full description of the car, detailed information and reviews about the driver, also the full price to my destination. The only way to go, really, that's from Dave. What do you say to that? Sounds like a great experience.
But Pat, that's all available here. Like, you know, I mean, we have companies here like Cab 2000, Link. The only thing that's not available on all of what you're talking about there is the actual price, because they don't know the price till they get to the end of the journey. What you're talking about could be operated with, if you're a Hackney or a limousine, you could get the price. For every other thing that you're talking about there, calling a taxi, the car details, that's all available at the moment from various companies offer the same service.
Yeah, but should it not be universal? I mean, you get into a taxi, you should be able to know everything about the provenance of the driver. You should be able to be tracked by a parent, for example, should be able to track. You know, all of that stuff is available on the Uber type application, supposed to be available on the free now, but often, you know, the drivers switch it off because they want the cash deal rather than pay commission to free now.
Yeah, but there are other companies offer it as well, and they charge less commission. Like, you know, if you get a Lynx taxi or a Cab 2000 taxi, or some of the other companies just don't come to mind at the moment, but they offer the same facility. You know, let's be honest. If this is about tracking, it's an issue with the National Transport Authority, but we need to talk about the 5,344 cars that are going to be put off, put out.
Now,
the
that's because they reached the age of 10, and there was a derogation during the pandemic. That derogation is now gone. Those cars have to be taken off the road. You know, a 10-year-old car might be okay for domestic use. A 10-year-old car might be a bit clapped out for taxi use.
Well, could I correct you on it, Pat? Because it might be okay. They say it's not okay to be a taxi, but the very next day it can be licensed as an SBSV vehicle, as a limousine, or as a limousine. So you can have your 132 Mercedes up till January as a taxi, but after January you can no longer have it as a taxi, but you can have it as a limousine. So it's still acceptable in the small public service. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it needs to be changed. Taxi drivers are coming out of a two-year pandemic with no earnings or very little earnings. They provided us an essential service throughout that, you know, at their cost, by the way. Like, you know, most taxi drivers have had to dig into their savings to keep themselves on the road. So, you know, the government didn't help them. The drivers did get pandemic payment and was very grateful to receive it, but that's what we received. Everything else was kept on the road with a very small income. And, you know, what we're looking for is just an extension of the vehicles, partly probably with other sections. Like, if you're a wheelchair accessible vehicle, you can be 15 years old.
Yeah. So, you consistency.
Know, I mean,
yeah.
Consistency,
and obviously,
yeah,
if a car is unfit to be on the road, it should be taken off the road. But you're saying if it's, even though it might be slightly elderly or middle aged as a car, if it's good quality and it's perfectly serviceable in good condition, etc., it should be allowed stay on for a little while longer. Thank you very much for joining.
Can I just say that, you know, a 10-year-old car gets checked twice as much as a 9-year-old car.
Yeah.
So the standards is actually, I won't say they've improved, but they're checked more regularly. So, you know, the age of the vehicle is not relevant, really.
Sure.
The cars are checked, and there is no age limit on the limousine. Like, a limousine can be 25 years old. Like,
otherwise,
so
should there be no wedding cars, those old?
Absolutely.
All right, Jim, thank you very much for joining us. Jim is spokesman for the National Private Hire and Taxi Association. Listening to all of that, Councillor Jackie Healy-Ray, what's the situation in rural areas? I mean, would you welcome Uber?
Oh, well, good morning to you, Pat, and to all your listeners. To answer that question, firstly, yes, I would. And it may not be a popular thing to say that amongst the thousands of taxi drivers that might be listening this morning, but I have used Uber in other countries, particularly in the United States, and I have had nothing but good experiences with it. It's very easy. You always get so much information when you use an Uber-type app. Sometimes you even get a picture of the person that's going to be picking you up. You get a picture of their car. You get a license number. And everything's very easy to track. To give you an example, when I was in New York one time, I forgot my phone in the back of an Uber. And as you can imagine, you think that you'd never get it back again. But I went down to Uber through the website. I was able to find the person who had picked me up. I was able to contact him. 2 days later, I got the phone back. So that'll just tell you the traceability that's there. Now, that's not to say that we should do away with all the standards that we have here. We do have very high standards of taxis here. They do a very good job. But unfortunately, we have a shortage, and there's not much enticing people into becoming what we call a taxi driver. And there's a lot of red tape involved. There's costs involved. And I think that opening it up a bit more to the likes of Uber, allowing people to, again, have a certain set. Because, see, the thing with Uber is, like, it's a review-based app as well. It's a bit like Airbnb in that sense. If you're operating on Uber, and if you're having problems with people all the time, if your car isn't up to a certain standard, you won't be offered the lifts from people as much as people who, will say, have a very high standard, etc. like that. So I think things like that will help. Standards will be maintained, I believe, if we do bring in the likes of Uber. You see in other countries, particularly like in America, in New York, you have the yellow cabs walking just alongside the Uber apps in other countries as well. You have your normal taxis that are still working side by side with the likes of Uber. And as was stated previously by one of your contributors, Uber is available to taxi drivers in Ireland at the moment. But I find that they aren't used. I know when I'd be in Dublin and things like that, you could be on these apps for hours and you could be led to believe that a taxi is on the way, and it's very unreliable.
All right, you know? Jackie. I know that there would be probably takers, teetotalers and everything, who'd be happy to earn a few extra euro at the weekend when all the venues close and bring people home if Uber were to be brought in. But we leave it there. Councillor Jackie Healy-Ray, Independent Kerry County Councillor.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.